Hi, everybody. Welcome to a very special edition of Wake Up to Spirit. I am your host, as always, Celeste Elliott. I am a registered medium and in Lilydale and a resident. And today I have with me a friend of Lilydale, a frequent presenter, and an all-around very cool person, Shannon Taggart. So thank you very much for being with us today, Shannon.
Thank you for having me, Celeste.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. I have to tell you, I still get very giddy when I email a presenter or a guest and they say they're excited to come on the show or they're, you know, so thank you. Shannon, for people who don't know you from Lilydale, you've come here as part presenter and part creator of the Science of Things spiritual program in the summer. Is that right?
Yes. I think we're about 6 years running now with that program, and it's taken many forms, but I think we've hit our stride. So now it lives as a day-long program, usually on the last Friday of July in Lilydale.
Fantastic. Yeah. So we'll have to, I actually want to circle back to that a little bit. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Shannon, she is a photographer, and a pretty amazing one at that to boot. I have to say, I am, as a photographer myself, I am very rarely jealous of other people's images. But I look at your work and it is fantastic. So
thank you.
It very, very, very impressive. And, I just kind of want to introduce you to the Lilydale audience a little bit more. How did you come into photography, first of all, and then how did you come to spiritualism and as a subject matter and as a personal interest?
So it's kind of, I realize this now that it's very synchronistic, but at the time I didn't realize that I discovered spiritualism and photography right around the same time, which was in high school when I was a teenager. But I didn't put them together until much later. How I first heard about spiritualism was my cousin went to Lilydale for a reading, and she came back with details about how my grandfather really died, and it revealed this big family secret. And it wasn't, we were told he died of brain cancer, but he actually had asphyxiated in the hospital. And some medium, I still to this day do not know who the medium was, but in a message service in the auditorium, she picked out my cousin and said, "Your grandfather's here. He wants you to know that this is how he died, and he's giving these details." And she thought the woman was crazy. And then she went home and asked her family, and my family as well, like her father was my uncle, they told me that this woman told me this crazy story that Grandpa Taggart, asphyxiated or he choked in the hospital. He said, "No, that's true. That is how he died." But they had never talked about that. So, and I remember my family being it was very dramatic and being kind of shocked and taken aback by this. And I just thought, oh my gosh, how could somebody know that? How could a total stranger know this about our family history? I mean, it was something that hadn't been talked about in I don't even know how long, because he had been dead for quite a while at that point. So, and then around the same time, I discovered photography in high school. But I then became a professional photographer, and the story always kind of lingered in my head. I still hadn't been to Lilydale, and then I decided, well, what if I tried to take pictures in Lilydale? And, you know, just spent like one summer kind of exploring Lilydale with my camera, if they would allow me to. And so I proposed it to the board, and they very graciously accepted my proposal in 2001. And I honestly thought I'd be there one summer. And here I am 18 years later, finally compiling everything into a book. but that's how it all began.
Yeah, that is so Lilydale. it's like you can't just eat one potato chip.
yes. You know?
I love hearing people's stories of how they came to Lilydale. And we have this kind of running joke around here about when you're ready, the island will call you, sort of thing. So that's fantastic. So at that time, was your family local to Western New York, or was this kind of
I grew up in Buffalo.
Oh, wow.
So. Okay. And even though it's not far, I mean, it's nearby, but I still, you know, Lilydale was like, could have been a foreign country to me at that, because it was just, I didn't know anything about spiritualism or mediumship or any of this history or the practice. And so even though I was local, it was still very unfamiliar.
That's, yeah, you know what, and that, I hear that all the time. For me, growing up where I did in Ohio, and most of the spiritualist churches had shuttered. Mm-hmm. So we would drive up to, usually in a group, up to Ashtabula, which was mm-hmm. about an hour away. And, you know, but Lilydale was only 2.5 hours away, and it seemed like light years. It seemed like mm-hmm. an eternity, you know, so we were like, but you know, it happens, and there's, you know, people sometimes will come in, you know, the dead of winter in the off season, and that's their introduction, and you know, into the peace of it. And then they'll come back 2 or 3 years later and go, oh yeah, there are leaves on these trees, and
yes,
get to experience it a little more. So, but so when you came that first summer, 2011,
2001.
2001. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I knew there was a one in there somewhere, right? so that's when you started photographing mediums in like, and mediumship, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So how was that? So you started approaching like the mediums on the ground, and was it originally just like, let me see your reading room, or were you digging into other practices, or how did that unfold for you?
I mean, at first, even before I even proposed the project, I came to Lilydale, you know, and in my car, and I just drove around, and I was, you know, so overwhelmed by, because I've always felt that time is different in Lilydale somehow. Like, I really honestly felt transported.
Yeah.
And so I think it took me a while to just, I think the first few times I just drove around in my car and then didn't even get out and like left, you know? but you know, then after writing the board, and then I, you know, they gave me approval, and I came to do the project properly, and I would just wander the streets, and I would knock on doors. I mean, this is before, you know, the internet wasn't a thing. Not everybody had email even. I mean, it's kind of amazing to think of it in that way, but so I would get people's phone numbers and call them. And if I couldn't get them on the phone, I would knock on the door and be like, can I just talk to you? I mean, it was mostly, I was just trying to talk. I didn't force the photos at first. And like, you know, a lot of people ended up being like, well, you know, why don't you go knock on Hilda's door? And I don't know if you ever knew Hilda Wilkinson, yeah. But when she was in her 90s, when I was there, and she was like one of my first teachers. Like, she would take me in and tell me all about spiritualism and read me the poems of Ella Wheeler Wilcox. And she was always game to have a conversation about spiritualism and Lilydale. And so she, you know, a lot of people who are like yeah, I could talk to you, but you should just go down the street to Hilda's, you know, so that she was one of my first teachers. Betty Schultz, the medium, was one of the first people to welcome me in, and I really adored her, and she was an incredible lady, and I learned a lot from her. And so it was mostly conversations. I was making some pictures. It took me a long time to get up the nerve to ask a medium to sit in on a reading.
Right.
And but the first medium who allowed me to do that was Gretchen Clark. And that, you know, that was really interesting. And then one of those photos from that first session is in my book. And so it kind of just gradually, I didn't jump in full. I was very I went slowly. It wasn't that I was afraid. I was just, I didn't know how to approach things.
I think that you approached things in a very respectful way, and you
Thank
were
you.
Educating yourself as you went along. And, you know, I think anybody who does documentary work, if you immediately stick a camera in somebody's face, they freeze up.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that people understood that you were very genuine. And that's the community that I came into in Lilydale. That's why I love Lilydale so much. By the way, I have terrible allergies today. So if you see my eyes getting all funky, that's why. that's the community that most people, like, they come here and they feel welcomed in, like they can ask questions and they can, you know, and so, and particularly the old timers. That's huge, you know.
And I mean, it was bittersweet when I was finishing my book and I was doing the acknowledgments, and I realized the long list of people that I spent time with who are now passed.
Yeah,
I think that it's almost like 20 different people that I met and worked with and learned from in Lilydale are now gone. So that was, you know, just because so much time has passed in the course of this project. So, and a lot of them were old timers who had this, you know, this historical view on spiritualism.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
What that means is that your book is going to kind of give us this whole spectrum of information that would otherwise be lost, and the stories of people that are that really helped to build this place and maintain
it. Yes.
You know, so that's and these were very, very educated and very how do I want to put it? They were community-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, you can tell when you look at, I can't wait for people to come to your book release. I'm so excited.
Me too.
So, for those of you who have, I get so lost in the conversation between us, I forget that, you know, I'm actually supposed to be interviewing you, but for those of you who have not seen the reviews of Shannon's book, you know, from everybody from the New York Times to the Paris Review to Time Magazine, I mean, people are really sitting up and taking notice, and that's not easy to do for a photo book, Shannon. That in itself is a small miracle. So,
thank you.
That's really exciting. But you look at these photos and they're so emotional, and there's so much depth to them that I can't imagine what the editing process was like for you.
Oh yeah, the editing process was crazy. Figuring out how to put the book together was crazy, because I had this archive of, you know, 18 years of work, and it wasn't just images. I started doing my own research, and then I did 60 interviews for the book, and then wrote a text of 30,000 words for 33,000 words, I guess, in total, because I wrote an introduction and I had never written before. But the reason I had to, so the book is kind of structured in three parts. The first part are essays that frame the history of spiritualism, and also its photographic history and its importance in the history of art, and then my pictures, and then all the stories that kind of weave in the voices of the people in the images with some historical information and some of my own experiences. Because I had to do it that way, because what I found is I was making pictures about spiritualism that were very much inspired and connected to spiritualism's history. But sadly, not very many people are aware of this history.
Exactly.
And so you couldn't understand my images if you weren't put in a place to know how fascinating and important the history of spiritualism is, and how important it is in America. And, you know, that was lost on people. Still, I think there's a lot more awareness about spiritualism now, but in a way there isn't. And, you know, I get calls all the time. A major publication called me recently and said, oh, we're doing a story about witches, so can we have all your mediums cabinet photos? And I said, well, no, you can't, because witches don't use mediums cabinets and spiritualists aren't witches. And I mean, there are some, and that's not saying, yeah, but it's not, yeah,
just like there is with anything. Yeah.
It's not correct. You can't right. do that. And this person said, oh, well, just send them to me anyway. And I said, no, I just can't. And there's such like a lack of, I think just every, spiritualism gets lumped in with everything that would be considered, for lack of a better term, quote unquote, new age.
New age, fringe, occult. Mm-hmm. Yeah, several years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, I was having coffee with somebody on the porch of the coffee shop, and I met them there, and I said, you are not going to believe this. I just had somebody who called me, and, you know, they were asking me questions, but they kept throwing the word occult in there, and my friend just looked at me and started laughing and said, you do realize that technically we are a cult, right? And occult, by the way, not C-U-L-T. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but the word hit me funny, you know, right. And it was like, because it was the way they were using it, it was the context of it. Like, you know, I want to know, and yet I don't think you have any validity. And I think right. that's exactly what would have happened if you had published this without historical context and understanding. Right. And I think that's what's so important about, you know, your journey and coming here and making friends with these people and really learning. So thank you for being a part of recording that history, because that is unbelievably important, first of all.
thank you.
And second, you know, one of my favorite books one of my other favorite books is called The History of Ghosts, which of course I know you're familiar with.
Yes, it is. It's a great book.
That is a great book. And it features the history of the Aykroyd family. And mm-hmm. also because it was, of course, written by Dan Aykroyd's father. And it also features, you know, his coming to Lilydale and his experience with some of the mediums on the grounds as he was sort of exploring. So your book also has a tie-in with the Aykroyds.
Yes. So Dan Aykroyd wrote the foreword, and actually I was lucky to be, I was allowed to use Dan Aykroyd's great-grandfather, Samuel. There's a picture, a spirit photograph of him that was taken in Lilydale, that was used in Peter Aykroyd's book, History of Ghosts, and I was allowed to reproduce it in mine. So that's that's in the foreword. So I think it's just so cool seeing, the Ackroyd's history, family history in Lilydale, like an actual photograph that was taken. And so Dan is proudly spiritualist, speaks openly and honestly about it often whenever he's interviewed. He just recently did an interview about Joe Rogan where he talked about the Fox sisters and Arthur Findlay College and Lilydale. And so, yes, he was very interested in the product and very supportive and wrote a wonderful foreword that highlights spiritualism's progressive roots and its importance in the history of women's rights and abolitionists. Sorry,
I trip on that word myself. So
yeah. So he kind of stresses the fascinating history, and most people become aware of spiritualist words or themes through the movie Ghostbusters.
Right.
But they don't realize that Dan is drawing that from his family history and from a religion called spiritualism. Like it's known about in culture, but it's like removed from its historical roots.
It got written over. And I like to say to people, if you think that you've never met a spiritualist, go back through your family tree, because it was the predominant religion in the United States on the census for decades.
Yes.
And people don't realize that, I think it's pretty, pretty important.
Right.
These connections and preserving that very uniquely American heritage.
And for me, I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like the whole afterlife community that's happening now is spiritualism, but just completely removed from its historical roots.
Yes.
And it's almost like they're starting over rather than realizing they're part of a...
There's already a foundation there. Yeah.
Right. And that bums me out, honestly. I mean, because it's so detached from the same exact practices that were rooted in American history, American religious phenomena. And so in England, I find lots of spiritualist churches, lots of awareness about spiritualism. Like, you can't throw a stone without hitting a spiritualist church in England. and England's literally the land size roughly of New York State.
Yeah.
And there's hundreds of churches. And so I don't really understand why that is, but hopefully,
become aware. I think there's a story that the Women's Day Committee highlighted last summer regarding Elizabeth Cady Stanton and how she went to write the Women's Bible. And she was warned by her friends, and especially Susan B. Anthony, don't do it, because people are turning away from the new thought movement. They're turning away from the religions like spiritualism that give women the equality, equal standing, the opportunity to speak from the platform, that sort of thing. And they're going back to the older ways, the older Christian traditions and heritage. And she did not listen, and she got written out of history for a long time. But people are rediscovering her. And I think that's what's happening with us too.
Yes.
Your work, particularly, you're preserving that history before it's lost.
Thank you. Yes. And also I should mention here, I had to rely on, often when you're trying to rebuild this history, there are people like Ron Nagy, for example, in Lilydale, or Paul Gaunt at the SNU, where they're kind of keeping this material, working with it and writing about stuff that has been not written about by regular academics or like the standard academic. And even the standard academic will often talk about, like Anne Brody, who wrote the book Radical Spirits about the women's rights movement. In her second edition, she says her colleagues were horrified that she was writing about spiritualism and that she took a lot of flack over, like, they're like, why are you doing this? Why are you sullying the movement with this history?
And it's exactly, yeah. We were very fortunate to have the author Sally Roche Wagner here last summer, and she's one of the foremost experts on the American suffrage movement living today. And she has been famous for linking the women's suffrage movement with the Haudenosaunee Native Americans and their influence, and how there was equality within that tribe and that movement before there was with, you know, our government, long before our government. Even she, you know, she paid us a great compliment by saying, you know, as she's moving forward, she will be talking about the suffrage movement and spiritualism, because so many of them were, and so many of them hung out with spiritualists, and, you know.
Yes. And also, right now in art history, the whole beginnings of, like, the birth of modern art is being reassessed, because they're now acknowledging that artists like Hilma af Klint in Sweden and Georgiana Houghton in England predate the male abstract expressionists by, in Houghton's case, by 50 years.
Yeah.
And so they're now, I don't know why, but people are, these histories are being revisited. Mm-hmm. And often by brave academics who are willing to go there. But art history has to be rewritten. We have to grapple with this. It was mediums in trance producing these first abstract works.
That's exactly right. It's the question about, where does inspiration come from, right? Mm-hmm. And mediums would tell you, of course, your loved ones are around you and inspiring you, and spirit is around you and helping you out. So, right. You know, we've been talking about muses since Roman times and mm-hmm. Greek times. But I think that history in general, we're finding out that there were female Viking warriors. We're finding out that there were many female scientists who never got credit for anything over the years. Mm-hmm. So this is part of it.
Yes. So, yeah. It's just a fascinating time. And when I did a talk about my book here in New York, I opened with, you know, now it's a really wonderful time to be talking about spiritualism, because of all these, there seems to be like a real openness now. So I'm hoping that more knowledge and I hope the real story of spiritualism does reach more people. When I started in 2001, that definitely was not the case. So I've seen it, even just showing my work around, you know, I've gotten kicked out of photo editors' offices before. This is a science magazine. Why would you bring this here? And the funny thing is that some of the most established and revered scientists of all time were spiritualists. Most intellectuals from the late 19th century were at least dabbling with spiritualism, you know, so it has this really intense intellectual history. Mm-hmm. I want to make as many people aware of that as possible.
Which is the perfect lead-in to bring us back to talk about the science of things spiritual.
Great. Yes.
I didn't plan that, but I'm glad it worked that way. So tell us a little more about that and your involvement with it. if you don't mind.
Okay. Yes. So the science of things spiritual is kind of came about, at the time we used to do it when Susan Barnes had her art gallery in Lilydale. That's where we started the lecture series, but, how it came about for me and the idea, to start to program it was I was doing my own research. And so I had for the first time started going to conferences or presenting my work to not photography audiences, to like a general audience, or, you know, I started publicly speaking about it, but to a wide range of different people. And what I realized is there were academics who were studying spiritualism or topics related to mediumship and spiritualism and were interested, but they had never met a spiritualist, or they had never, even though they're studying it in history, they had never actually met a person who was a spiritualist or who was practicing as a medium. So the idea behind the whole program is to bring together theory and practice. And because at the same time, I was also noticing people in Lilydale, I'd say, oh my gosh, there's this amazing academic who's talking about how forensic science was born out of spiritualist investigations. And, you know, they didn't know because they weren't aware that she was around going, talking about this work that she had done. Or like, that's like one example. So I was like, I could see how both, I wanted to bring both together, you know? So that's how the science of things spiritual came about. I've gotten so much positive feedback from the academics who have come here, who may never have just, unless they had a reason to, you know, so giving them the invitation to like come and present, you know, when you have an event that you invite somebody to, then they have a reason to come. They can't just say, oh, I'd like to get there one day. It kind of makes it more urgent.
Right.
And so, yeah. And the audiences we've gotten have been so fantastic, and the Q&As are always fascinating. And I really love what's happened with that program.
Yeah. Well, it's been a real blessing, I have to say. So, you know, for those people who, I always find it surprising that people are surprised when they come here and it's like, oh, you look normal. You don't have anywhere.
Yeah.
Crystal balls, except in the garden, you know, just normal decoration, that sort of thing. And I think they're surprised too, that there are, you know, very grounded, educated people here as well. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, so that, we want to be able to open our doors and make everybody who comes through feel very comfortable. And that's part of it. You know, so there is something for everybody. Whether you're here as part of a very left brain exploration, or a very right brained explanation, or somewhere meeting in the middle. So,
yes.
You know, I like to know, not only how, I like to know how things work, and that's, so yes. Lectures like that are really exciting for me. So, and sometimes spirit will come through with something and you go, what does that mean? Or how would that even work? And then somebody comes along and explains it and you go, oh, now I know what they were talking about. So it does split the difference. Very good.
Yes.
So thank you for that as well. And then you're coming for a book release, in Lilydale here. Not tonight, obviously, but next week.
A week from tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So November 22nd, which is next Friday.
Yes. And I'm so excited, to bring the book to the place where it all began. And, so I'll talk about, I'll give the talk that kind of made the book come about, because how I figured out how to do the book was by talking about the work and presenting it to audiences and kind of organizing it, helped me organize my thoughts. So I'll basically give that talk, and I'll have copies of the book, and they'll be specially priced, cheaper than you can get them on Amazon. And some exciting news is that it's the first edition is actually almost sold out.
That's
already.
I heard so, you're going to second printing. So thank God.
I'm just really thrilled that so many people are interested in the book, because I did purposely write it for multiple audiences. I wanted somebody who never heard anything about spiritualism to be able to engage the book, as well as like somebody who knows everything about spiritualism, and people who are just interested in photography but not necessarily interested in spiritualism, or people who are interested in art history and don't know. So I really tried hard to make it as appealing to as many audiences as possible, and I hope it's working. I think it is. I get such positive feedback from it, and such a positive interest in spiritualism from the people who do see the book. And I also say too, there's a lot in spiritualism, there's different ways of thinking about things, because it, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's a free thinking movement. So there, like, for example, there are some people who think the only way forward for spiritualism is through consciousness and clairvoyant mediumship. And then there's others who say, but no, we should do dark seances, because they've always been part of spiritualism. And there's some people who are way into that and some people who are way not into that. And I kind of call myself the diplomat of spiritualism, because I allowed
appropriate, yes.
In the book, I tried to allow everyone to speak about their own experiences and opinions in a way that in the text, so people could decide for themselves what they think, or you know, and I tried to make it clear, not everybody does this in spiritualism, not everybody does that in spiritualism. There's a wide variety of spiritualist experiences and practices, and some of the stuff that relates to the Victorian era, not everybody is down with. And so I tried to be as diplomatic as possible.
I know you, and I know that you've done a good job.
thank you.
And by the way, and I never thought it was possible, but you have now replaced Sam Abel as my very favorite documentary photographer. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
I am so looking forward to getting a signed copy. So
hey, thank you. Yes, I cannot wait either. I'm really looking forward to it.
Fantastic. So is there anything that I've forgotten to ask, or anything else that that you want to tell the audience about today?
No, I mean, I think we covered it. We covered a lot of ground, but I wanted to say that I couldn't say everything in the book, but I tried to give the whole story, like history, both history and now, and also write about all the complications within spiritualism and the why people perceive it certain ways. I tried to address as much of the confusion as possible in the book, and hopefully that'll come through when you experience the book.
Yeah. I guarantee it will. I'm so looking forward to the book release. We should mention also, we have Lauren Thibodeau, who is a registered medium in Lilydale. She's going to be at the book release and doing readings as well. So
yes, she's going to do a message service after. We're going to do my talk in a book signing, and then Lauren's going to give some messages to the crowd. And Lauren's in the book, and I've also known her and been working with her since 2002. So so hopefully that'll be a really fun aspect. I don't normally get to do that, so it's so interesting for me to be able to talk about mediumship and then have somebody actually do it. I don't always get a chance to do that when I talk about my work, so that's really exciting.
Awesome. We are thrilled that you're coming in, and So for those people who do not yet have their tickets, you can go to www.lilydaleassembly.org, and your book and everything is pretty much taken up the whole homepage right now because we're super stoked. And you can click on buy tickets. It is very, very moderately priced. Shannon was very, very sweet about that. So $5 for assembly members and $15 for non-assembly members. And you can buy your book there and get it signed and possibly get a message. And it's going to be a fantastic evening. So
definitely.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
thank you. And I'm excited. I will see you a week from today.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you.